on the names of God. And we're going to pick up Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15. Exodus 17, verse 15. This morning we're going to look at Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. We find it one time in Scripture. However, it is often referred to. We often go back to the idea of God as our banner. The Lord, our banner. Verse 15 of our text, "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Very few people today, it's seldom you see that people in their Christian walk understand that we are on God's side. God is not on our side. When we consider the banner, when you go off to war, there's a banner, and you know that that is where you stand. You stand with that banner. It marks who you are, it marks who you're with, and you move with it. When it marches this way, you follow the banner. When it goes into war, you follow the banner. When it pulls back, you follow the banner. And when we see the Lord as our banner, that is who we are. That's where we fight, that's where we stand. We stand behind God, and we stand for God. That banner was a source of pride for many that would march along. These are my people. This is who I am attached to. This is my love. This is what I'm willing to give my life for. Oh, it can be hard to find people willing to give their lives, not that they would die, but that they would live for God. You know, I heard that illustration. You know, somebody sat there and said, you know, I'd die for my wife, I'd die for my kids. And somebody said, but would you be willing to live for them? Would you be willing to get yourself healthy? Would you be willing to make money to support them? Would you be willing to put the time in to support them and grow them and nurture them and be what they need and take care of the battles for the family? And would you be willing to do that? And that is what we must see ourselves, that living sacrifice that God has called us to be. That whatever God needs, that's where we'll be. Whatever is required of us, that's where we will be. Because the Lord is our banner. We see one of the best illustrations of this over in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Where we see David in a very precarious situation, where he comes up to see his brothers to bring him food and encouragement from home. But instead, he finds them standing in front of this giant who is debasing and insulting God and just trying to humiliate the children of Israel. 17 verse 29, if you will. It says, "And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" His brother had said, "Oh, you just come down here to see the battle. You've got some bad intentions here. You're just a curious little boy. You don't know nothing about battle." And all David's sitting there with the care package from home. "And what have I done? And is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. "Oh, you're just here for silliness. You don't know what you're talking about." And I tell you what, nowadays, as how it feels, where you stand up and you hold the Bible aloft and you said, "This is where we stand." And people say, "Oh, you're just trying to be divisive. You're just trying to be mean. You're just trying to be bigoted." And we still hold the Bible up and we say, "No, this is what God has said." And more people fight back. "Oh, you're just old fashioned. Oh, you don't know how to do it. Oh, don't you understand the bad?" Listen, here's what we've done. We've had bad people among Baptist churches. Let's just call it what it is. I know it's Sunday school. I know I'm getting hot already. Let's call it what it is. We've had bad people in Baptist churches. And those people have done bad things. They've ripped off the treasury. They've hurt people within the church. They've done disgusting things to people in the church. It has happened. And you know what's happened alongside of that? People have experienced that and they blamed God. God has never changed his opinion on men not touching women. God has never changed what good stewardship and what the definition of theft is. He's never changed those things. So just because somebody shows up pretending to be godly so they can come in as a wolf and do terrible things does not mean God has anything to do with that. And they will suffer. And they will be punished by God's hand for what they have done. It'll happen. But we sit there, we see people today, oh, that's old-fashioned. Don't you know Christian churches are bad because there's a handful of bad people in there? Well, I tell you what, let's head on over to the Boy Scouts. Oh, no, there's bad people over there. Let's head into corporate America. Oh, no, there's bad people over there. All right, fine. Good, the Girl Scouts, politicians. Let's go into local sports, right? The Little League games and things like that. I tell you what, I knew of a young person molested by his own dentist while his mom sat out in the waiting room. You can't go anywhere without finding terrible people. Those people are not to be, God is not to be blamed for those people. They are part of the problem. They are what we stand against. They're what we're willing to fight against. David just, you just want to control people. I don't want to control people. I don't. I want what's best for people. I want to warn them. That's why you'll probably never see me trying to run for Congress or anything like that. I don't want to control. I want to warn. I want to be that person that says, why don't you slow down? I want to be that person that says, hey, I want you to know what this is going to do to your health. Hey, I want to know what's going to happen. I want you to know what's going to happen in your eternity if you keep going like this. I want people to understand the health and the danger in their actions according to the Bible. That ought to be our desire. So David stands up and he's telling to people, hey, and they're answering him the same again and again. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. It's easy for us today to look at the world and the way that it's behaving and the challenges that a good Christian church has to face. When we sit there and we look at all the false doctrine and we look at all the attacks brought against her and you look at all the people on the inside causing trouble for no other reason than they don't like the color of the carpet, and we see all these things, it is easy for us to sit there and say, there's nothing we can do. David saw a giant. He goes, I know exactly what to do. Don't let anybody be afraid of this guy. I'll go down and get him. And we understand his rationale. What was David's rationale? We'll go ahead and read it. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. That's a lot of confidence in yourself, isn't it? No, let's keep reading. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. You know, with God on my side, you know, that bear didn't look so big. That's my lamb. That's my father's sheep. You can't have that. The lion, as big as its paws were, as hungry as it must have looked, God on my side, it doesn't look all that big. And if a bear's not that big, I saw another video, oh my, saw another video. This guy was feeding this big old grizzly, just feeding it. I don't know, it looked like chips or something, feeding the thing. And he got closer and closer, and the bear looked like he was going to go eat one of the chips. And you just saw the bear lunge for the person, whoever had the camera, drop the camera. And I'm glad they did, because I was not looking forward to seeing someone die today. You know, just to David, that wasn't scary at all. When we see what's going on, around us in churches in this world, we need not be afraid. God's banner is still here. His people are still here. He is still doing things. People are still being saved. Worship is still happening. People are coming to a closer understanding of God, and they're living more godly lives because of it. Great things are still happening. Why? Because God is doing them. And if God is still working, who am I to not stand by my banner? If God goes to war, I go to war. And we see many of things in this world to war against. We war against sin. We war against evil. Not with weapons, not with violence, but by standing up. By doing something as simple as giving the gospel. Standing up and speaking the Lord's opinion into a situation. We do so as simple as voting, or as just being a teacher, being an educator. We fight against these things. But in order for us truly to stand by the banner, we must stand where God stands. It's always weird, that double standard that people have, where they understand where this is what God says, but I'm going to go a little bit faster. Many of us do that with our doctors. Now make sure you're using your walker. And we go, I ain't going to do it. Right? Now make sure you're taking this medication, and you take the medication, you don't like how it makes you feel, so what do? I ain't going to take it. Right? Well, make sure you take it easy over the next couple weeks, and what do? Whatever we want. I forgot where I was. We had a graduation party yesterday, and my uncle, I haven't seen in a while, comes up, gives me a big hug, and with all the care and compassion in the world, he's just a very sweet guy, he goes, now, you be careful driving home. And you know what I say to my parents when they tell me to do that. I'll do what I want. He just in this big, sweet, caring, compassionate, all right, love you. You be safe driving home. I'll do what I want. I skipped. Didn't even think, just came out of my mouth. Everybody in the family started laughing. And I had to come back and say, listen, I'm sorry. We're not going to have the minivan up on two wheels, I promise. We'll keep it nice and safe. And if you've ever driven with me, you know I'm a slower driver. But we got to stand where he stands. We got to follow his rules. Instead of doing things our way, instead of making it about us, instead of trying to use our limited wisdom to try to put something together, we need to rely on those who know what they're doing. And nobody knows what they're doing better than God does. So if I'm going to say I stand with God, I need to stand by this book. I need to do the things that are in it. If I'm going to do the things that are in it, you know what I'm going to say. I'm going to have to read this thing. I'm going to have to study it. I'm going to have to mortify the flesh a little bit. I'm going to have to tell myself no every now and then. Tell myself no. So I got to stand where God stands. And it's got to be a consistent stand. It's got to be a strong stand. This incongruity that we develop, where sometimes we'll obey God, other times we won't, it leaves a bad standard. It leaves a bad example for those around us. Inconsistency is just as bad as not doing something at all. You know, we sit there, you talk about consistency in child rearing. It's all, if I'm going to sit there and this is going to be the rule today, that needs to be the rule tomorrow. And I need to make sure that if I tell them they can't do something for a good reason, that I need to not give myself that ability myself. You know, I got to fall within those limits too. Again, just depending on the situation, of course. But consistency. We need to have reasons for what we're doing. And we need to hold that standard. You know, the best illustration I can use for that is my dad, who has smoked since he was a very young, person, telling me, if I ever catch you smoking, I'm going to kick your tail. You know what I mean? Consistency. Let that be the family standard across the board. You know, I don't want to, don't swear in my house, but you're swearing. I never want to catch you doing drugs, but you got them. You know what I mean? We need to make sure that what we're teaching matches what we are doing, or else we're just wasting air. We're wasting air. Where he's under attack, I'm under attack. You know, I think it's kind of interesting. Did you see the opening ceremonies of the Olympics? I didn't, but I caught the blowback. got the blowback if you missed it. They had all those men dressed as women and different people parading around, provocatively dressed. And they tried to recreate the Da Vinci's Last Supper. Now, first of all, graven image, Da Vinci's Last Supper, in my opinion, that's blasphemy. Da Vinci ought not have done it. I'll slap his hand for it. But what they were doing is they put this big old white man dressed as a woman, looked about like me in a dress, put a golden crown around his head, and they're up there dancing, and the table was a runway, and they had just people just scantily dressed, men dressed as women, women whatever, just walking up and down. Oh, it's Fashion Week. We're showing off Paris Fashion Week. But yet, in the center of these people is this one, and you've got this perfect shot of it, and they're pretending that that's not what they were doing. But I know what they were doing. You know what I think is curious about that? Not just the blasphemy. That makes sense to me. I understand why blasphemers and people like that would do that to God. I think it's funny that they do that to the Christian God, but they don't have the spine to do that to Allah. You want to know why? Because it weren't the Christians burning down the train stations over there in Paris. They're cowards. Our God tells us to be peaceful, and we're peaceful. Our God tells us to be tolerant. I want to be careful that we're tolerant. Not that we would accept, but not to go out and fight and punch and bite and scream hatred. So we don't. We're told to love our neighbor, so we do. And they come after our God. But I tell you right now, if they did that to Allah, they did that to Muhammad, the fire that would rain down on them. So they don't, because they're cowards. But one day, those artists, those choreographers, those designers, they're going to stand before God. And what they thought was the height of their achievement will be the one thing in their brain that screams, oh no, we were wrong. We were wrong. My hope, though, is that that is not the first time they come to the understanding that they are wrong in their behavior. It is up to us to lovingly and compassionately tell them that God will not suffer that in silence. And, of course, you look back and what do they say? Oh, it's tolerance. What a wonderful lesson in tolerance. Unless you're a Christian, in which case it's offensive. I tell you what. If I sat there and I did something to defame one of their characters, we start messing around with that RuPaul guy, and they'd be quite offended. And if we sat there, we said, oh no, it's about tolerance and inclusivity, they wouldn't understand. But they ain't got the gray cells available to them to see how that would be offensive to us. No, they get it. Oh, they get it. Where God is under attack, we go to war. Again, not with hatred, not with anger, but I will get up in this pulpit and I will call it out. And I will get to my family members and I'll get to the people around me and I will call it out. That is wickedness to the highest degree, but the thing you need to be most worried about is that God will answer. Why would God allow this? Why would God allow that? Oh, the pathetic world would say, why would God do this and why would God do that? And we always fail to remember that we do some hateful and terrible things to God. When the whole world can clap their hands at some wicked sodomite pretending to be him with a royal crown on their heads. And we think, well, why would God allow the train stations to burn? I'm going to be late to the Louvre. Come on. We put our fingers in God's eye and we wonder. Where God is under attack, so are we. Because that is our God. Even down to the random blasphemy, that is my God. That is my Lord. Let me tell you what he did to me. You don't use his word, his name as a curse word. I wouldn't tolerate you to insult my mom. I wouldn't tolerate you to insult my dad. But I'm telling you this, I'm not going to tolerate you to insult my God. if we would have that devotion to our family. And I tell you what, two people, since we've been married, have ever dared insult my wife in front of me. And it changed the relationship. I'm just going to tell you that much right now. Changed the relationship with them. We need to have that kind of devotion to God as well. And where God works, we work. You see, the banner wasn't always just for warfare. Sometimes you hang the banner up, and this is where we camp. And when we're at camp, we do the chores. And this is where we go over and we're doing work. Maybe we're building a bridge. Maybe we're fixing something. Maybe we're handling a problem. Whatever. We hang the banner up and we get to work. Where God gets to work, we get to work. And I'll tell you what, as long as this building is here, I pray this church will be working for God. That we would be giving the gospel. That we would desire folks to come in. That would be our utmost desire, to serve the Lord in our communities. Danielle, we were doing a yard sale this last weekend, and I think Danielle liked it when I wasn't around, because I had this nasty habit of just talking to people. And then they would leave without buying things. I probably talked to one of my neighbors for about a half hour, just talking. Talking about the street, talking about history, talking about this, talking about that. We just got to talking. Somebody else came up and she got to tell me about her life. And you know, she had her grandson with her and we just got to talking. Didn't buy anything. We got to talking for so long, and finally the conversation came over here so other people could come and go through the yard sale. Just got to talking. How easy it is for us to get to talking, but we don't invite people to church. I was embarrassed. I didn't bring any tracts with me. I didn't bring any of our cards with me to my own yard sale. So I ended up having to write down on a sticky note the address and the website for our church. Oh, hey, come by sometime. Come by. That we would do that in the grocery stores. That we would do that as we meet people on the street. That we would serve the Lord. There are people out there with needs, just as well as there are people in here with needs. And we ought to be praying for them. We ought to be encouraging them. We ought to be helping them to the best of our ability. Now, you can't solve everyone's problems. You certainly can't solve everybody's financial problems. But what you can do is give them the tools. Give them the things that God has given us. And we pray that the Lord would save them. Because that's when things start to turn around. Where He works, I work. That is the nature of the Lord being our banner. What He's against, I'm against. Right? There are things that will happen. You know, some families, they do this thing where they make the kids eat food that they don't like. Now, I think every kid should try every food at one time or another. But my wife and I, there's certain foods we grew up we didn't like. We don't make our kids eat those foods. You want to know why? We don't make those foods. We just don't. There are some things that I don't like that she likes. And when I'm out of town, that's when she makes that food. Oh, man, I was at camp. I was sitting there getting things ready before camp, and I opened up the spice thing, and I saw some brand new seasonings in there that all led up to a nice curry that she was going to make when I was gone. I cannot stand the smell of curry. Not because of any other reason than the fact that it took me forever to scrub it out of countertops and cabinets and seasoning things. Just took me forever. I lost all love for it. Just could not tolerate it after it became a huge part of why I couldn't do my job right. You know, there was no cleaning material that would get that stuff out of a countertop. So she waits till I'm gone. There comes a point where, hey, listen, I might not like it, but go ahead. You know? That might not be my thing. I'll figure something else out. When it comes down to the Lord, Lord, if you like it, I like it. Lord, if you don't like it, I don't like it. That's the way of it. Down here on earth, we compromise with each other. We work around each other. We help each other. We, hey, listen, all right, well, this time we'll go here. Next time we'll go there. When it comes down to the Lord, we're where He is. We're where He is. There's foods that Danielle doesn't like. We wait for the ladies' fellowship. She's up here. That's when we're going to have it. Compromise. When I'm gone, you have what you want. When you're gone, I'll have what I want. And it's beautiful, right? That's just the way we'll work it out. Oh, man, but with God, there's no compromise. Lord, where you are, I am. Where the banner is. When you play that song, Lord, when you call me, that is where I will be. We need a dogged devotion to the Lord. Not just to our church, not just to the people we're with, but to God himself. To God himself. And we can't say that he is our banner if we do not know this book as the way as we should. We need to be able to know it, to follow it. And when we follow it, we need to follow it consistently. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and we praise your name this morning for your word. That, Lord, you would be the banner we can all rally around. That, Lord, you'd be who we would follow. That, Father, we would not dare to question you, but, Father, instead, learn, watch, and, Lord, obey. For its name in Jesus we pray. Amen.